Don Brass Stocks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Vikram.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing, Alvin?
I'm fine.
Good, good.
Now, you almost stole my thunder just now because I really called to discuss two things with you, and one was the village shop. But you said a lot just now that I agree with, so I won't have to say as much as I would like to say.
Wow. No. You agree with me, Alvin?
No,
you agree
with me? What you said make a lot of sense.
I love, but this is a red letter day. I don't know that this has ever happened before.
No, but
you said I make any sense.
But by the time you and I finish, you ain't gonna see the same thing you're saying now.
All right, no problem.
I got to go to something else also. But I would.
All right, no problem.
I would like to say this here. I heard the Prime Minister addressing us a couple nights ago, and the impression I got from her was that these decisions that is with us now was discussed with a section of Barbados, union, politics. She even mentioned Chris Sinclair. It was so broad. Because I thought he was also Barbados. But even his name was mentioned that the discussion involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know, if that is true, what Ms. DePisa is saying now and what Franklin is saying now, they had no part in those discussions. Because I don't know how our Prime Minister, unless she had to operate because the majority wanted this decision with the village shops and the majority thing, knowing that our Prime Minister is a lady who moves around, ran shop, community, wherever you were, you used to see Miss Molly. So I know she know.
You said that our Prime Minister moves around, run shops?
Yeah, well, see, she more one ran shop. I think she had community more once.
All right, no problem.
No, I didn't know what I saw. I don't add nothing because I tell you. But what I'm saying is this. So I know the Prime Minister will know, and all those who made this decision, that there are some village shops located in certain parts of Barbados, that to get to a supermarket, you got to catch a bus or a van. You know that, or you know that, Mr. Rickham?
I know what the convenience factor is.
Now, what I'm saying is, anytime anyone could sit down and come up with this decision, something is going on in Barbados today.
Mr. Alvin, the problem that you're going to have in this issue is you just said it correctly, right? You said that you see the Prime Minister around the shops already and around rum shops. In Barbados, it's very, very difficult to distinguish between the two, between a village shop and a rum shop. And the presumption is that when you go to a rum shop, you go to lime and buy rum and socialize. What do you go to a rum shop to do, Alvin?
Mr. Vickram, let me slow down. Because I hear another moderator this morning, and the only thing that I received, because I could be wrong, that these village shops is bare wearing shops. On election day, Mr. Vickram, you can't sell around between 6 and 6, you know?
Right.
If they want to stop the laming of drinking around, which they could never get through, if they believe they could stop rum from selling in their village shops, they're fooling themselves. And I know they know that rum can still sell. They could
Alvin, let's dissect this issue. And I am with you on that because I think that there's a difference between saying what is the common item that all village shops sell, which would be rum, as distinct from saying that all of them sell only rum. Because I agree that there are many that have a diversity, but the one consistent is usually rum.
Hold on, Alvin.
Because gyms do not sell rum, and gyms have also been closed, right? Gyms are generally seen to be a healthy place to congregate because they don't sell rum, and they're closed. The problem isn't the consumption of rum, you know. The problem is the socializing. And I'm saying what I believe is the problem, Alvin, is that the idea of being able to regulate the activity that goes on in a village shop appears to be too challenging for the authorities, and this is the reason why they've taken the path of least resistance. And that's all I'm suggesting to you. Because they don't know everything I've said today that they know. They are fully aware of the fact that a lot of people rely on these village shops to survive. At the same time, however, I suspect that the balance is that they are not convinced that they're able to police and regulate the activity to stop people from laming in these shops.
You and I ain't got good with this, so let me move on.
All right, no problem.
You shift what I'm trying to say. I am saying that the same way on election day, certain shops, you see a big blind put up and hide all the alcohol, but the other things can be bought. So even if you want to, if you believe rum and drink a rum in shop is the problem, come down on the shopkeeper and say, if you get caught selling alcohol, and it will help the treasury. But don't shut the corner shop. I got one here by me that get that ain't gonna be able to open, and they don't sell rum. This is village shops. This one here by me don't sell rum. But that got to close too. But let me get to that. Not only that, because I don't think you all understand how serious
I understand, Alvin.
Let me give you this
Alvin,
one here.
Alvin, there's a bakery out by me, right? It's one of the best bakeries in the island, right around the corner from me. And you can rest assured, they don't sell rum, but it is a venue for laymen. Because where two or three are gathered to purchase any kind of produce, a conversation will start, and we have problems.
All right, let me ask you this question here. I listen to Prime Minister well, as we usually do all the time. So I want to know if you know this also, if it's true. A gentleman here by me, there were three of them that got different locations selling baked nuts. You know they can't sell nuts for the evening no more?
Yeah, I'm hearing that, yeah.
So you know, here it is, a gentleman coming home from work. He has a habit of buying two packs of nuts to sit down and watch his TV and think. You know he can't buy any two packs of nuts no more?
Because he can't go work later, him, so.
But you're telling him that he got to be...
No, but he can't. If he buy a pack of nuts to keep his company when he coming home from work, he ain't going to work. He don't need nuts. Because he won't sit him down in front of the TV all day.
What I'm saying is, this poor man that buying nuts and getting the bait and selling them by the pack, he have to stay without money now for 2 weeks. And I don't see what selling nuts at a corner got to do with COVID. You see people gathered by nut sellers, but listen.
I don't see people necessarily gathering by nut sellers, but I appreciate the challenge that you would have. If you say the nut seller can sell, right? And if the nut seller has a son or daughter with them, they can also sell. And then at what point do you say, okay, the vending has to stop?
Let me tell you my thing. And get to my next point quick before I take a half show.
But don't think. Just get to the next point. Don't bother with this no more.
No,
because we agree.
Finishing this one. I heard, I didn't know if it's true, because I didn't hear you, that you were invited back here. That's why you came home a couple of weeks ago.
Invited back here?
Did you mention that you were invited back? That's why you came home?
Invited back by who? By his Beijing, I got to be invited.
Was you in Barbados one Christmas?
I was, yeah. But I wasn't invited.
Did you make a statement at any time that you back because you was back because Barbados is corona free?
Oh, no. I never said nothing, so.
Okay, let's move on. I'm telling you, all problem in Barbados, all this shutting down and shops and interfering with sellers and hawkers, our problem is one thing. Only one thing, you know. And I don't know why people make it so difficult when it's one thing. And you know what that one thing is, Mr. Vickers?
What is he wanting?
We got to deal with people who enter our airport. And instead of making hotels and clinics, the government should have one or two locations that when you come in, you go to. That is the problem. When you have hotels that operate like clinics, and you could give a security guard a lift, two hands with a telly, look, you don't see me? We've always got this problem. I haven't heard one person come no positive from one shot. Let me move on now to my point, and let me get off the air. Mr. Wickham, the last time you and I, you was on with this, that I call you dealing with 11 plus. I ask you a question, you tell me you can't do with me now because I come to confuse you or something like that. And the question I asked you was this. The question I asked you was this. Being a former teacher or lecturer, mm-hmm. if you have a child that it marks as 90 going towards 100, and you got one 30, would you have both of them in one class?
But I don't see why not. I don't see why not. I had a range of abilities when I was teaching politics. I had people who were outstanding students, like George Brathwaite, that now has his PhD.
Listen, Peter.
And I had students that used to struggle.
Peter, I am speaking about children mm-hmm. that will be sitting, will be working on physics, math, English, and we are talking about you talking politics. You talk politics to me and George Street too? I am speaking mm-hmm. about the learning. How can you put a child that getting over 90 in English or maths? I have another child that can't get to 30, and I expect all of this to be in one class. Let me ask you this question.
In that case, then it should be unfair to say to the student who is doing 90 and the student who is doing 10 that they should take the same exam at the same time.
No, this is.
Does that seem fair to you? No, because if you're going to say that, if you're going to ask me to accept that it's unfair to teach two people with different abilities in the same class, then it should be unfair to examine two children with different abilities at the same time.
No, this is
because
you do appreciate
that we all have to sit 11 plus by 11, and we all have to sit CXEs by 16, and we all have to sit because you have the same 5 years. And the point I'm making is that if we're going to argue that you shouldn't teach people with different abilities in the same class, then perhaps you shouldn't teach people, you shouldn't have
you
the same exam for people at the same time. I said the same ability. I said ability.
Uh-oh.
They have different abilities.
Mr. Vickham, listen to this. You know why when I hear you with it, you're frightening? Let me tell why you are frightening.
I frighten you?
I think you should be frightened in all Bajans.
Yeah,
I heard
really?
You say,
I think I should be delighted in all Bajans.
Listen, I heard you say, because you know you say, I tell you, I'm not here. You told a gentleman one day there was a gas pushing on the National Insurance Building and it mm-hmm. pushed down. There was a gas moving that soon and it going.
Right.
I know my prime minister well. And as she say 11 plus going, they gone.
They're going, remember? Right? Good.
You remember you said that?
Yeah,
and I want
this
way I call you and I tell you this. As I said mm-hmm. yesterday, take out day before, I approach in 3/4 of a century. And in my day, mm-hmm. I have great children and children extremely bright. In my day, they had one CR after 1 year. And we produced scholars.
Mm-hmm.
All the people, like a gentleman called Peter Wickham, that would like to change the system, pass through all that, you know, and end up successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, y'all want to change something, and ain't telling me what y'all going to put in place of it. And that's why I'm scared, because you told me that your prime minister and my prime minister can scrap it, because you know her mm-hmm. well. She said it must go mm-hmm. in again. So I want to know if it can go as you're telling me, Mr. Wickham, what your plan to put in place. You can
help me? My final word on this, and I just want to say this on Go, is that I think that we make a mistake when we assume that my experience with the educational system was that of everyone else's. And I have said to you on this, I've said to people that have asked, I've said it over and over again, this issue is not about me. I have passed through the system, I would say, with relative success, notwithstanding the fact that I have a learning disability. I have passed through the system with relative success. I don't have any children. I do have nieces and nephews, but I don't have any children that have to pass through the system. So it's really not about me. It's about the fact that I appreciate that were my parents not in the financial situation that they were in, the end for me would have been very different than it was. And I think that Barbados can do better. I think Barbados needs to be able to provide opportunities for children regardless of their socioeconomic background. And that is my basic concern. I think it is unfair for us to condemn generations of children to a worse fate in the educational system because they are poor. I have a problem with that. I think that we can do better, and I believe that we should do better. When the Prime Minister said that every school can be a good school, I'm with her 100%, and that is what I believe we are moving towards when we dispense with this 11 plus exam. Alvin, I want to thank you for contributing to the program, as always, controversial, and for giving us something to chew on. Down the brass tacks. Singer Sandra is 64 years old. Thank you for that, Dennis. Appreciate that information very much. 64 years old, so she's still... had a lot of living to do, but presumably she was ready, and that was her time. So it was a good innings. It was an outstanding 64 for her. And apparently, Kashi, who preceded me on this program, was already paying tribute to her in song. So certainly it was not news for the first time. A couple of WhatsApp messages. Peter, the Prime Minister got involved. Sorry, the Prime Minister involved privately. We're talking about the Liat situation here. The Prime Minister got involved in privately owned company severance issues. Why is it that you pulled the plug on Liat and today employees cannot receive their due entitlements? The issue is being swept under the carpet too long. I also received another note from someone today asking me to speak about the Liat issue. And certainly there's something that we can talk about. The situation with Liat, as I understand it, is that the persons who were employed, who contributed to National Insurance in Barbados, who worked for Liat, have been severed and have been compensated. There is another category, engineers and pilots, who had a peculiar arrangement where they were paid out of Antigua and did not contribute to the National Insurance System, even though they were based in Barbados. Those have not been compensated for obvious reasons. We really have to look to the Antigua government to understand what is happening regarding the compensation. The Antigua government is claiming that it is responsibility of all Caribbean governments. The Caribbean governments are arguing that they're really not in a position to deal with it. No. At the same time, however, Liat is still flying. And once an airline is still flying, one presumes that it still has responsibility for all of its financial commitments. So that's my take on it. And certainly we can talk about it more. But yeah, that's the way it is. But I totally support your comments regarding the differential parenting and education in Barbados. A child with experience and skill set and a lack of a better world, poor environment is not given the same opportunities. And I think this is sad. Couldn't agree with you more. 11 plus system is causing block mentality and it will only get worse. Will someone please ask this question? Sorry. People are calling for village shops to be open, but do you know during the last lockdown, ram shops and some bars were putting small items on the shelves, claiming to be village shops at the front. Behind, they had people congregating in these bars and drinking. I think if you are a bar, this should not be allowed to happen. Then the other person says to me, the issue is crowds. The issue is not rum. It is not money. It is crowds. Crowds are the problem. So not rum nor nuts. It is money, it's crowds that are the problem. Don Brastox, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine, my brother. And greetings to you and to all our audience.
Thank you.
COVID-19 is causing a lot of problems and challenges in our country. As a matter of fact, I just want to tell you first that even your opening comment along with COVID-19, but it's down to actually the same thing, safety. But when I look at the COVID-19 and I watch the television and see the comments of the people and listen to the contributions concerning the small shops versus the supermarket. Now, the issue seems to be pointing at shops, but as you said this morning, they still got people that would make like juice. Juices, you know, aloe vera soap. Some people make it. Oh my God, what about retailers? And as Alvin said, the seller. You know, they seem to be focusing on money. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But why I say that is, there is a scripture that says that Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Bread is made for laughter and wine made life enjoyable, but money answers every need. So those are the words of the wise man Solomon. So the issue now here is money, Mr. Wickham. I don't want the audience to understand that. What our billions need to do is to try to fight this virus by following protocol and trying to
you know, try to don't spread it. And the only way we can do that is by using our hate. We still need to survive, okay? And if we continue to do the, like, say the government to say, well, look, we are shutting down nothing. Maybe just try to get the people to follow protocol. What do you think will be the end result? You know, because we're dealing with humans. And it can be very difficult because, I'm going to tell you something, my brother. This COVID started from March. But before March, people are just living their life. Going here, going there. And then I wore a mask. I just stopped, thought, drink, wore a gas. But then as COVID coming out, all of that come to a virtual halt. And it is beating people left and right to get to come to grips with it. So we need, mm-hmm. as a people, to sit down home and think of what would be the outcome if we allow this virus to get out of hand. You agree
with
me?
All right. Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you. I just want to say to you that I think that we have to be careful in assuming that the virus is being spread because of intentional actions on our part. I think a big part of the problem is that it is being spread unintentionally, day to day, in terms of us doing things that we may not even think about or we may not even realize are wrong. And part of the reason that the regulations are so draconian is that the regulations are trying to help us to essentially protect us from ourselves. And that's really what it comes down to. United Kingdom has just imposed restrictions on people traveling, going on holiday. It's fairly severe, but it's not to suggest that there's anything fundamentally wrong with going on holiday. It's just that they're trying to protect people from themselves. Anyway, final word from you, sir.
When I hear the Prime Minister say that, when you get to the airport, make sure you've got valid reason to leave this country or you're going away. I tell myself, that is so far we're going now. That's great. All right, Mr. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. I just want to say, though, that the whole idea of having a valid reason to travel is not very different to what is being done on the continent, because certainly in France, to leave the country and to travel an extended distance, you had to have a verifiable reason. You couldn't just be going on holiday. So it's consistent with what is being done in several European countries where that ban on occasional travel is being imposed, because we do appreciate that that is one of the ways that people could unintentionally spread this virus. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Peter. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Okay. I want to touch on a couple of things, but let's see how much I can get you with first. The issue that you tackled this morning, first thing about cycling and safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a greater problem, our approach as far as traffic and stuff like that, because I think it goes to how we have laid out the island over the last 30 years. I think we have gone the way of being car focused, when we don't even manufacture a car. And I think this is one of our problems. But I think short term, we can look to maybe reduce the speed limit. We need to continue to educate drivers to respect, everyone to respect one another on the road, but drivers especially, because we are driving, in essence, very dangerous weapons. You know, the speed and the weight of these vehicles are very, very dangerous. And I think that a reduction of the speed limit would go a long way towards that. But also recognizing that if you have the larger, more powerful vehicle on the road, then it is for you to give way to the weaker person or vehicle on the road. Because certainly, how long can a person walk in the road or a person riding a bicycle hold you up? And in essence, even if you wanted to race and go down the road, by the time you get on there, the traffic lights, there's other cars. When you look back in the rearview mirror, the bicycle person has caught up to you. And you left them 10 or 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I think that we need to...
I am... I want to support what you're saying. I had been involved in a traffic study for IADB. This is a good while ago now. It's sufficiently historic that I can talk about it in a public domain. And one of their concerns is the fact that we have never really set up clear cycling options in Barbados. And the question is why. I agree with you that highway, the airport to West Coast highway would be ideal if it had a bike lane. I mean, regardless of the speed limit, if it had a designated lane for people who were cycling and people who were walking, that would be perfect. The challenge is that when that was conceptualized, the expectation was that people should ride. I don't know if you remember, Margaret Thatcher said when she was in her heyday in the 80s, that any person who at 40 could not afford a vehicle, that person was a failure. And those words came back to haunt the Conservative Party recently when Boris Johnson, who was at the time, well, he was mayor of London, and one of his most significant initiatives was to introduce cycling to the UK. And they went to the stage where they had ministers that used to cycle to work. And they had a situation where, you know, people, when he was mayor, he used to be cycling about the place. So cities have moved in that direction. But I appreciate that Barbados is caught in a lag where we don't have facilities for walking, far less for cycling. And I think that we are at a stage where any future highway planning needs to contemplate both. It needs to contemplate the dedicated areas for people to walk, and it needs to contemplate dedicated areas for people to cycle. And sadly, until we get to that stage, it's always going to be a struggle and a tussle between the two, no?